Ladies and gentlemen, live from somewhere on the great Llano Estacado, it's the one who tells it like he sees it, the one who thinks it's rude not to talk about politics and religion. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Out of the National Journal, Ted Cruz begins to feel the heat from the opposition. Well, they're all kind of getting a little heat right now. Tell us what the big issue is in the campaign right now, and tell me a little bit about what's all this stuff about David Dewhurst and a wage tax and that kind of thing.
Well, sure. You know, the campaign, as you know, is heating up, and we're getting some enormous momentum. There's been an 11-point swing in the polls in my favor in the last 2 months, and so unsurprisingly, David Dewhurst has started firing some barbs my direction because they're getting nervous, and then they're starting to panic.
What is this stuff about the wage tax? You know, you made a claim that Dewhurst supported or at least voiced support for some type of income tax, and they said, oh, no, and even some members of the press said, oh, no, Ted Cruz is wrong, but when you go look at it, it looks to me like the evidence supports your position. Tell us about that.
Well, you're exactly right. I've been saying for a long time that Dewhurst has supported an income tax. And this past week, the Dewhurst campaign, with the support of the mainstream media, pushed back and they started screaming, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. I encourage everyone to look at the facts, because as you know, the facts support what I'm saying. Here are two facts. Number one, in 2006, he proposed a business income tax. And the quote he told the Associated Press was, quote, I would rather see a tax based on income. That's a quote from David Dewhurst that he's trying very hard to run away from. But the second fact, and this is even worse, in 2005, he supported what he called a wage tax or a payroll tax.
Those were his words, too, I believe, a tax on wages.
That's exactly right. That was his word. And the Dewhurst wage tax, what that would have been is every employer in Texas would have paid to the state of Texas a percentage of your salary and my salary and the salary of every employee in the company. And it was designed as a sneaky way to get around the constitutional prohibition in Texas on an income tax. And that's a fact nobody disputes.
Yeah, except that some of the people in the press seem to just ignore that fact when they were trying to to lob it back in your court. But I want to say something, and I've not told you this, nor have I told your people. When I was a Republican county chairman in Lubbock County and I was on the state chairman's board, I went to a lot of meetings, and when we were redoing the business tax in Texas, David Dewhurst had me to that big, nice lieutenant governor's dining room with a few other county chairmen, about 8 of us or 10 of us each time, several times right. When that was the huge issue, and had me in there for lunch. And I was the only one that was asking really hard questions, and I know it frustrated David somewhat, but I mean, that, you know, I don't care he's a lieutenant governor, he works for me. And one of the things he kept saying was, well, the franchise tax, don't worry about it being income tax. It's been one for 100 years. He was right about all that. But I will say this. I was present in situations where David Dewhurst said, to one extent or another, and it's one of the things that's long bothered me about this, that he'd rather wish we could just get around all that in the history of the franchise tax and just make it an income tax. Now, his argument was it was more fair. It was an income on business. And he wasn't talking about a personal income tax. But the wage tax essentially is, because anything that comes out of the employer's budget for you, out of what they've allotted to pay you, whether you ever see it or not, it's still a tax on you. And I'm surprised that so many in the press have tried to defend Dewhurst on this issue.
Robert, you're exactly right, and the statement you just made is the same statement I made, and it's the statement that both David Dewhurst's campaign and the Austin American Statesman say is a lie. But you know what's interesting? You and I are in very good company, because the Wall Street Journal and Dick Armey, a PhD economist, former majority leader of the House, agree with us. The Wall Street Journal said that the Dewhurst wage tax was, quote, a fancy disguise for a personal income tax, and they also said it would have killed 40,000 jobs in the state of Texas. And so as much as Dewhurst wants to run away from his record, he has for a long time pushed a business income tax and a wage tax, which is nothing but a fancy disguise for a personal income tax, and that's a bad idea. It would have hurt Texas.
Well, I was there in those meetings back over the business tax nobody likes now called the margins tax, and I I felt very much so that there was a personal animosity thing between him and Speaker Craddock, and that we got more of the Dewhurst brand on this margins tax, and it's been an absolute disaster and hated by business. I frankly, and the whole time, have said, well, it doesn't raise that much money, just get rid of it altogether. But for some reason, he was really big on pushing that, and I understood some of the reasons behind it, but I heard him talk about income tax as well, so I'm not surprised by this. Now, Mr. Cruz, tell us a little bit more about, outside of that issue, what really sets you apart from these other candidates in the race? At least, why should we think you're the right pick to be our next United States Senator from the great state of Texas?
Sure. Well, I think this race comes down to two simple questions. Number one, will the next senator from Texas be a strong conservative? And number two, will the next senator from Texas be a fighter? Obama has been so radical. The challenges facing this country are so serious that we don't need another timid career politician. We don't need another spineless jellyfish to go to Washington. We need a strong conservative who will lead the fight. And I'm the only candidate in this race that has a proven record for over a decade of standing up, fighting for conservative principles over and over again, and winning on a national level.
Tell us about some of those issues.
Well, I spent 5.5 years as the Solicitor General of Texas, chief lawyer for the state in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, appointed by Greg Abbott, the finest attorney general in all 50 states. During the time I served as Solicitor General, over and over again, Texas led the nation fighting for conservative principles. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court, defended the Ten Commandments Monument, and we won. We defended the Pledge of Allegiance, and we won. We defended the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, and we won. And most critically, we stood up and fought the World Court, the United Nations, and the President of the United States defending U.S. sovereignty, and we won.
From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
We're visiting with United States Senate candidate from Texas, Ted Cruz, former Solicitor General of the great state of Texas. Mr. Cruz, I've got a couple of questions on something that's been pushed my way since the last time you were on the show, and I've gotten it from a lot of folks, I'm sure political operatives, but it's a fair question. You've stated sure. You don't support the DREAM Act and you oppose amnesty and support legal immigration like I do. And then they try to point out, and I don't know which camp this is coming from, but it says, so why do you belong to so many pro-amnesty, pro-DREAM Act organizations? And they list the Hispanic Alliance for Progress, Hispanic Leadership Fund, the Hispanic Alliance for Prosperity Institute. And these are groups that have contrary positions. I'd like to get your take on that.
Well, I'm not sure what the second one was. The first two were Republican Hispanic groups that asked me to be on their advisory board, and I was. My views on immigration are very clear, and they're unequivocal, which is that I'm strongly opposed to illegal immigration. I think we need to do everything humanly possible to secure the border. And I'm categorically opposed to amnesty. I think the DREAM Act is wrong. It's I think, falsely named. And at the end of the day, Robert, amnesty is not fair to those people who wait in line often years or even decades mm-hmm. to come here legally. It's not fair to reward those who break the law. And that has been my unequivocal position. With respect to securing the border, I approach it from the perspective of someone who spent a lot of years in law enforcement. In a post 9/11 world, it makes no sense at all. It is crazy that we don't know who's coming into this country. We don't know their background. We don't know their history. And I think we should do everything humanly possible to secure the border. You know, the first thing any sovereign nation does is secure its border. Now, that means fences. That means walls. That means technology like helicopters and drones with infrared. And most importantly, that means boots on the ground. A bill I intend to introduce in the Senate is a bill to triple the size of the U.S. Border Patrol, because I think we should demand that illegal immigration drop to zero, not be slightly decreased, but take it to zero. And if we make it a law enforcement and national security priority, we can get that done.
So your position is that you were members of groups that the groups as a whole may have actually taken positions with which you disagree, which I think is true for any group anybody belongs to, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you share their position on, say, the DREAM Act or something like that. You've made your position pretty clear that you oppose that act and you're for no amnesty. Is that a fair assessment?
I mean, right. Both of those groups had big advisory boards, and I don't know what positions they took or didn't take, but I know what my positions are.
Well, I have friends that are in LULAC, and I used to go to a lot of LULAC meetings with them, but it doesn't mean I agreed with LULAC on everything. Actually, we had one chapter that was real conservative in town and one that was real liberal in town, and it just didn't mean that. But this has been pushed to me several times, so there's an effort to get that out to the media to ask those questions. Before we end the interview, I'd like to just give you a couple of more minutes. It's a dangerous thing to do with a lawyer because he can use it, but you've got a couple of minutes here. Give us more of your vision for the country if you're elected to the U.S. Senate, Ted Cruz.
Well, I'll tell you that we're really at a crossroads. I mean, Barack Obama is the most radical president this country's ever seen. And if we don't stop what's happening, we're at risk of bankrupting our nation. We're at risk of losing the freedom that all of us have enjoyed for our kids and grandkids. And the Senate right now is at a tipping point. The four strongest conservatives in the U.S. Senate, in my opinion, are Senator Jim DeMint, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Rand Paul, and Senator Pat Toomey. I am the only candidate in the country who all four of them are supporting. And the reason is they need reinforcements. Every one of them said the exact same thing, which is they're outnumbered by Democrats, and sadly, they're outnumbered by fellow Republicans who won't stand up and fight. And the real choice in this Texas Republican primary is, do we have a timid career politician like David Dewhurst, who spent 14 years in elected office cutting deals and compromising? Or do we have a strong conservative fighter? And I'll tell you, Robert, if I'm elected to this office, you have my word that I will stand up and lead the fight. Texas will lead the fight to stop the Obama agenda, to dramatically shrink the size, power, and spending of the federal government, and to restore the Constitution. If we don't do that now, we'll lose the country, and we've got to turn it around, and Texas needs to lead the fight.
Ted Cruz, tell people how they can find out more about you and get on your email list and maybe even make a contribution if they want to do so.
I would be very happy to. Our website is tedcruz.org, TEDCRUZ.org. I would encourage all your listeners, please come check us out. Join us online. Join us on Facebook. Join us on Twitter. We are building the strongest grassroots army that the state of Texas has ever seen. Conservatives, Tea Party activists, Republican women all over the state of Texas. Make a contribution online. We're going up against a self-funding incumbent politician who can write a personal check for tens of millions of dollars. But we've raised over $4 million, and it's come from 13,000 donors in over 600 Texas cities and all 50 states. So make a contribution out online so we can have the resources to get our message out, and then urge five of your friends to do the same. The website is tedcruz.org, TEDCRUZ.org. Join us, and together we'll make sure Texas leads this fight.
Ted Cruz, thanks for joining us today on Pratt on Texas. I appreciate it very much.
Follow Texas at twitter.com/PrattOnTexas.